Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up, and welcome to E4 2016. That's right, we're getting started a week early, or a few days early. We won't say a week early, but a few days early. This is officially E4 Episode 0. We are looking forward to all the stuff with E3, and we'll be talking about that a lot this week. So I'm Tommy, of course, Jamie over there. How you doing, man?
It's go time! It is go time, baby! I've waited for this all year. It is go time.
It's the best time of year. Yes. It's our Christmas.
It's wonderful. We're going to talk about it later, but this year, I dare say, this year is the biggest, baddest Gaming Uncensored E4 that's ever been invented. Now,
yes.
We have lots of plans, lots of ideas, and some of it may blow up.
And some of it may happen. Like, that's we have lots of ideas, and hopefully we accomplish at least a few of them.
If you're lucky, you're going to see some stuff from us that you've never, ever, ever seen before.
Yeah.
Which I'm very, very excited about. And we will tell you more about that as we go.
Yes.
But man, I can't believe it's time.
Like, me neither. And this is the brilliant part of this. This is the only show that we're going to do where we're not sitting in the same room as each other.
Yeah.
So the next time you hear us for an E4 show, which will probably be Sunday or Monday, we will be sitting in the same room.
Yes.
Which will be awesome.
And you know what else is cool? We now have, like, two rooms.
We do.
Because we have my normal space, and then we have the office space.
And this is space I haven't even ever seen before.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
The last time that you were here, like, we didn't make it. But I've already warned my little brother that we may be in at some random times. So I have keys, and I have the alarm code.
I love it.
And off we go.
Yeah, man.
And I mean, I'm not kidding, folks. This is going to be big. Like, we've been doing this a long time, and we've got space, we've got bandwidth, and we've got ideas.
We do have ideas.
But we got ideas.
That is true.
And yes. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So what we're going to do on this show is to kind of preview to E3, talk about what's going on next week, about what kind of our expectations are, what we might see, what we're hoping to see. There's already been some game announcements and some world premieres, and so we'll talk about some of the stuff that's already out there. And it's exciting. There's fun stuff happening. Not only is it going to be a fun E3 for us and for Gaming Uncensored, because we're going to do some really cool things, but it's also just shaping up to be what looks like a really good E3. This is an E3 where there's both the promise of hardware. We're almost certainly going to see, like, PlayStation VR. We're going to maybe see something from Nintendo. Nintendo's saying they're not going to, but we'll see what happens. But it's also kind of right in the heart of a console cycle, and so we are also anticipating amazing software. Like, we should get tons and tons and tons of really, really good-looking games. And so it's one of those E3s that should be just a lot of fun and lots of good stuff coming.
They're always fun, but
they
like,
are always
like,
fun, even when they suck, which they have before. They're still fun.
This one has the feeling to me, for the first time in a while, of being epic.
Yeah,
like, and it may just be because we have stuff going on,
right?
Like, I feel like for the first time in a while, we've done E4. For years now,
yeah.
But for the first time in a while, I feel like we are, if everything works, we are going to put a major footprint on the internet this time around at E4. And I'm really excited.
This may be our 10th anniversary of doing E4. I haven't even thought of that. I don't know when we did this for the first time.
Well, you could find out.
I could find out. It's going to take some digging. We have archives of everything. But, yeah, it's either 10th or 11th year, right, if my math is right. We've been doing this for a long, long time at this point. It's ridiculous.
Yes, so. We have.
Longer than anybody else that we know of.
Which is nuts. That's the crazy thing. Like, we sound like two random guys in the middle of nowhere that you know, never really got the love of a gaming podcast, but we were first.
Yeah. I imagine at this point that we are the longest running gaming podcast. There may be one that I don't know of.
I almost swear, everything, man,
I know of has come and gone.
When we started, there wasn't a gaming podcast. Like I make jokes about it, but it's honestly true. When we started, there were 12 podcasts, and we knew everybody.
Right?
Like it's not like that we were all friends, but we knew who everybody was.
Yeah.
Okay. And everybody was listening to everybody else's stuff, and that's what it was. And how we haven't been more successful, I don't know. but it is what it is, and we're still here. And lots of other people aren't. So
that's right.
That may be the reason that I'm really excited, is because we haven't been to E3 yet. But this year, we have the potential to really get out there and really make a name for ourselves again. Like, the show is really weird in the fact that it has lulls. Like, we have time periods where there's lots of people listening, and then there's like two people listening. And
right.
Then there's like lots of people listening, and then there's like two people listening. I have the feeling we're about to get to another one of those times where there's lots of people listening.
I hope you're right.
So I'm like I said, I'm very excited, and as if us doing random stuff is not enough, like, I like video games. I just do. And when there is an entire week that is devoted to that, that makes me happy.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
So I have two questions.
Yep.
One is, you're going to be in my house from Sunday to Thursday.
Yep.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that. Are you bringing the sexy sidekick?
She will likely make an appearance.
Really?
We're going to drive together, then she's going to go do all kinds of other stuff. So she'll be around. We may try to get her on a show at some point.
Okay.
Be fun. But yeah, she'll be around. That's as much as I know right now. She's going to come with us and then go back to our home, which is about 2 hours from where you live, and then go visit some friends closer to where you live and family closer. She's going to make a little road trip out of it while we're playing video games.
Well, I love that. I knew that was probably going to happen.
Right.
Because you said that you might come here and she might stay home, and I was like, I know your wife. I know what's going to happen. She said, you're not going to go play games for 4 days, and I'm just going to sit here. That's not going to happen. So I'm not surprised, and I'm very excited. Very excited.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to talk about. Before we start, I have to tell you something. Having an arcade cabinet that I can play anytime I want is like the most awesome thing ever.
Yeah, you enjoy that?
Since the last time we did a show, I have finished 2 classic games, okay?
Nice.
I finished the old school, the original Avengers. Remember that thing with the four Avengers, Iron Man and the Silver Surfer and some other random people.
Yeah,
I finished that one. That was fun, and then On Tuesday, I sat down and I made my way through Final Fight. Remember that one? That's a classic.
I do remember Final Fight.
Yeah.
Final Fight is awesome.
So yeah, I got two games finished this week, plus what you and I played on Uncharted, plus some random stuff. So that's the... that's the benefit of having an arcade cabinet that you can play whenever you want, is that you just sit down and you pick a game and you go.
We will definitely have some of that happening this week.
Yes, yes.
We will have to do some kind of content around that, because that's going to be fun.
Well,
I'm really pumped about that. So,
well, here's the thing. I want to make a list of games that you've always wanted to beat, but you never had enough quarters,
right?
Okay, like and Final Fight. I think I beat that on the Super Nintendo. I think,
yeah.
But the Avengers game was one of those, and there's another one on there that I know you will love. It's the Simpsons beat 'em up.
Yes,
which I've always wanted to beat that. I never
that
have.
That was one of my favorite arcade games.
Yes.
I love that thing. It is so absurd,
and it's available.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like, it's the coolest thing. And so that's the first one of ours on our list that we need to sit down and beat, because I always wanted to back in the day. Like, you go in the tilt. And
right.
It would be like right there. You're like, I don't have enough quarters to beat
yep.
that game.
Oh, man. That's amazing. I'm pumped for that.
But now we have a free play button. So
that's amazing.
Like you just hit the button and it's like,
keep
what?
On going.
Yeah.
That's all my childhood dreams come true.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I have to mention really quick, speaking of the Avengers, just because I know you'll like this a lot, I went and saw a new Captain America movie last night, which is great. Really,
yes.
Really phenomenally good. Like, I love the Avengers movies anyways, but Civil War was just phenomenal. But I went to Alamo Drafthouse, which we've talked about,
oh,
which is
yeah.
the coolest movie theater ever. Because the Dallas Alamo Drafthouse, or two of them, the two that are close to our house, which is nice, are doing a summer special where if you're a teacher, you can go to the movies for free on Wednesdays.
What?
And so it's the whole summer. And the sexy sidekick and I both work for schools. We both teach. She's an elementary school librarian. I'm a college professor. So, like, you just walk in and show your, like, your ID. And they're like, cool, here's your tickets. And so we went to Alamo Drafthouse at like 6 o'clock last night to have to pay for the movie. And we could do that every Wednesday all summer.
Dude, you're finally going to be up on movies.
We're going to watch everything because we love it. Like, it's the best movie going experience. It's just, they've got food that's good.
Yeah.
Again, it's not like it's lame food, it's good food. And. I've never seen a child at a movie at Alamo Drafthouse, which I appreciate. Like, I don't have anything against children. I love children, but they can be super obnoxious at the movies. So I've never seen a child at any movie, or very few children at movies that I've gone to at Alamo Drafthouse. And they have this strict no talking and no cell phone policy. And people who go just like want to watch a movie, and it's like the best movie experience. And so,
I'm going to tell you,
we're going to see lots.
I'm going to tell you something. That policy, that's freaky, man.
I know, right?
Like that's like you walk in there and they say that, and like the first time they said it to me, I'm like, yeah, nobody's going to do that,
right?
And you walk in and you're sitting there, and nobody is on their phone.
It's amazing.
And nobody's talking. And I'm like, why can't this work in the rest of reality?
I know. It seems like such a basic thing, but going to the movies is always such a pain. And then, because it's like like they have the food and like the tables and everything. The seats are big and there's good space, and so you're not like sitting on your neighbor's lap, which is a lot of movie theaters. And the newest one that they built here, the seats recline, and it's just phenomenal. Like it's these big giant comfy seats with food and drinks, and we got a milkshake last night that had cinnamon and tequila in it, which was awesome. Like it's just phenomenal. It's the best movie theater, and now we can go for free. We have to pay for food, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, for food somewhere anyway. Might as well pay for it while we're watching a movie.
Right. If you don't have to pay for the movie and you can just pay for food, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it costs us like $40 with us getting, you know, appetizers and food and drinks and stuff last night for the whole experience, and that's what you would pay oftentimes just to go see a movie, you know,
right,
like without the food and everything else. And so yeah, lots of movie going in our summer for sure.
That's totally awesome. So now I'll be able to go, hey dude, did you see this? Yep,
right,
he saw it. Yep.
Yeah, we've literally, like, since we've moved to Dallas, we've probably watched as many movies in the theater in Dallas in the 1 year we've lived here as we did in the 9 years that we lived in Memphis. Like, we used to just never go to the movies because the movie experience sucked, and now it's awesome, so we go all the time.
You know, I've told you I love the movies. I've told you this,
right?
And I do, and it may be my experience. Like, I've only been to the Alamo Drafthouse once, but even my experience here doesn't suck because I'm like you. I go to the movie theater here that the kids don't go to.
Right.
Like and I
That's the trick.
And I go like in the middle of the day when there's like nobody there.
Yes.
And it's totally freaking awesome.
Yes.
And so yeah, I spend a lot of time at the movies, and all I have to say is thank you for coming to my side.
Yes. Alamo Drafthouse did it, and they it's phenomenal because they do the little like pre-show stuff, which is super entertaining. Like they always have custom pre-shows for the movies, and so you go and they have like for the Avengers stuff, they're showing like these Avengers spin-offs or knockoffs from like Malaysia or something, you know, that are completely cheesy and corny and amazing. And so it's just a good experience all around. So yeah, I thought you would enjoy that.
I was just going to say, if you've never been to the Alamo Drafthouse, it's like a real-life version of Mystery Science Theater.
Except you can't talk.
Yeah, but that's basically everybody that's there is there to enjoy the whole thing, and it's really awesome.
Yeah, which last night, the sexy sidekick and I broke that rule a little bit because there were four other people in the theater that we were in because it's on a Wednesday and the movie's been out for a couple of weeks. So everybody's already seen it. And we were at the very back of the theater, which this is another thing I love about them. It's not the one thing that they don't do is they don't have like, you know, the best sound and the best screens. It's not like an IMAX 3D or whatever.
Which I got to tell you, I'm spoiled by the 4K screen at this point.
Right, it is 4K. Okay. That's the one thing that they had. It is 4K, which I like a lot. But it's, you know, a moderate size screen, not the giant screens, whatever. But the theater that we were in last night had five rows. We were on the fifth row, and we were on the back row. Like, there was a total of maybe 70 seats in the theater, you know? And so even if it was packed, there's still only... We went and saw X-Men on... like Saturday. This is like,
oh, was that good? I haven't seen that.
It's good. I'm an X-Men homer. That's always been my favorite comic series, and so I enjoyed it thoroughly. But yeah, I thought it was really good. But we went and saw that, and the theater was packed. Like, it was, every seat was sold. That was right after it came out, and still, like, it was a great experience. Like, even with the theater completely full, and that was a bigger theater, you know. But yeah, this one was, there were five other people in there, and it was amazing. And so we could kind of have fun in the back and snicker a little bit without bothering anybody. And nobody got mad at us, which was good. So anyway, that's the movie going experience. If you live anywhere close to an Alamo Drafthouse, you should check it out because it's awesome.
Yes.
Which they're expanding. Like they started in Austin, I believe. And now are other places. I think even like in New York, like there's an Alamo Drafthouse in New York now and stuff. So whatever, it's awesome.
The guy that started that, which it's just some random dude that started it. And that dude's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good model.
Yeah.
It's executed well, so kudos to them. One more thing I'll mention before we start getting into the E3 stuff. I did play a really interesting game that I'm going to write about and put up on the website, so we won't talk about it much now. We'll try to get to it at some point. But that game is Firewatch, and it's really, really cool. And really not what I didn't go in with really any expectations. It's one of those games we saw at E3 last year and just didn't know a lot about. And I picked it up on the PlayStation 4 and played through it. The only complaint I have is that it's really short, and so you get through it pretty quickly. But it's really good. I highly recommend it. And would make an amazing virtual reality experience. If they decide to port that to PlayStation VR, I would play through it again in VR for sure. Like it would be super cool because the environments are awesome. It takes place in Wyoming in the mountains, and it's really, really cool. So highly recommend to check that out. Like I said, I'll put something up on the website probably today or tomorrow about it. So go check that out.
That is cool. Very cool.
So all that being said, it is time for us to talk about E3, which is amazing and super exciting, and we're pumped, and so we're going to get into that. So what we're going to do first here is start out with is just talk about what's going on at E3, kind of what the schedule looks like, what press conference are going to be, what kind of expectations we have going in, what we think we might see, what we have no idea if we'll see, all that kind of stuff. And so, starting with schedule stuff, things are kicking off in earnest on Sunday this year, which is interesting, because usually at least takes until maybe one thing on Sunday, but EA is doing their press conference on really, to be fair, EA is not even technically at E3. They're doing their own event, but it's corresponding with E3, so we're going to lump it in there. But anyway, EA is doing their press conference on Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock our time. And that's going to be obviously kind of the big kickoff to the biggest kind of event that's going to start this. And so that's happening on Sunday. Bethesda's happening on Sunday, that one, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. And then Monday is probably the big day, where we have Microsoft in the morning, 11:30 for us, Ubisoft at 3 o'clock for us, and then Sony at 8 o'clock for us. Microsoft and Sony, I would dare say, are the two that are going to be, you know, most impressive. It's the two big companies, two of the big three at this point. I don't know if we call Nintendo a big three anymore. Like, it's getting to the point that Nintendo, especially for E3 purposes, doesn't fit that bill.
Well, they still are. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you when that title changes, when we see the NX and when we see what happens. If it doesn't turn out to be something, then you know there's a big two at this point.
Right.
But they still, you know, they're working.
It's still Nintendo.
They're working on Street Cred right now. I mean, they're Nintendo and they are the big three because it's all from Street Cred.
Yes.
And all they have to do, I mean, we talk about it a lot, but it's very simple. It's the next big thing. Like you can coast for 4 or 5 years and come out with something huge and be right back in it. So
Yeah, no, it's very true. And so we'll see. This is going to be a big week for Nintendo, I think. Or it's going to be a total letdown week for Nintendo. We'll see what happens. Speaking of, Nintendo will be doing a Treehouse Live. They're not even doing the Nintendo Direct thing this year at E3. They're doing a Treehouse Live that's going to start at noon Eastern on Tuesday. And what we'd heard before about it is that it was going to be completely Zelda-focused. That's changed a little bit in the past week or so. They've added a few other things, but not much. Apparently, Nintendo's strategy for E3 is just to throw Zelda at us for days.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's not the worst plan, to be honest. I would like to see some other stuff, but like if it's throw Zelda at us all day or do what you've done the past couple of years, I'll take the Zelda. I think that's a better option. So that's what's happening. When it's happening, let's talk about kind of what our expectations are with all these. So we'll start with the big three, and we'll start with Microsoft because they're the ones that are doing their press conference first. And I have to say, I don't really know what to expect from Microsoft, in part because I don't have an Xbox One, and so Sony is much more on my mind on a kind of day-to-day basis than Microsoft is. And so, like, I know the Xbox One's out there. I know lots of people have them. I know they're loving it. But when I think about what exclusives that Microsoft has that I'm pumped about, I'm not sure. So some of the ones that we imagine we're going to see, Crackdown 3, which they could, you know, right, push that a little bit last year, and so I bet we'll see a lot of that. There's talk about Halo Wars 2, which, okay.
Okay, yeah.
There's maybe a new Dead Rising.
Okay.
So we may see a new Dead Rising at Microsoft. And then some other maybe not as big games or maybe not as AAA kind of stuff. I don't know. You would imagine that there's going to be at least one kind of big AAA announcement during the Microsoft press conference that's going to be a big deal. I for the life of me, can't figure out what it's going to be. There's a new Gears of War coming, right? They're supposed to be working on new Gears of War.
You know, they'll push that.
Yeah, that'll be a big one.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. I like Gears of War as a franchise, and it's supposed to be like a prequel or something. I don't remember. They talked about it last year. And so that's the thing. It's everything I can kind of think of that Microsoft has to talk about, I feel like they've already put out there. So I'm trying to think of what may be the big surprise, and I'm not coming up with anything.
Well, and I don't know necessarily, and this is going to sound weird, but stay with me here. I don't know necessarily if it's game-related. Because think about this, and if it happens, it'll make me sick. But PlayStation has just come out with the PlayStation View, right? Which is TV a la carte.
Right.
I don't know how well it works. I've not experienced it. I have no idea. But, you know, when Microsoft came out with the Xbox One, that was their thing. We're all about entertainment. We're all about integrating your Xbox One with your TV and your music and your all of that jazz.
Right.
And still, to this day, I think the Xbox One is probably a better media box than the PlayStation 4 because it works with my normal remote. Like, if I had an Xbox One in my house, I could, you know, fire up my Netflix with a regular remote. I wouldn't need the controller. I kind of wonder if, in view of PlayStation View, if they don't come out again and hit that hard with something special that nobody else has got. Now, yeah. I don't want to see that at E3, but like you said, we've already talked about the games that could possibly have coming. And I can't think of anything big enough to make me go, wow. Unless there's a BioShock out there that nobody knows about.
Right.
You know, if Ken Levine's, you know, lurking backstage somewhere, then that's it. It's over. But I'm with you. I don't really see anything game related, which tells me they're going to come with something. And if it's not game-related, it's probably going to be TV or entertainment-related, which makes me kind of want to throw up.
Yeah, and we went through a handful of years with Microsoft where that was the case, that the press conference at E3, there was always a big push towards the other entertainment stuff, and so they brought out, you know, whoever from ESPN or whatever it was, you know, to talk about the NFL Live stuff on Xbox. I don't remember if that was on PlayStation or Xbox. I think it was Xbox. But either way, it was stuff like that that was pretty common with Microsoft for a while. And so, yeah, I've loved the past couple of years where they've gotten away from that. And it's been all games all the time, kind of an E3 focus. I'm with you. I hope it's that. We're at the point in the life cycle where it may be, okay, let's talk about some of these other things it can do and why we think that's important for consumers. And I don't know. We'll see.
And we talk about how wonderful the games are and all that, but the simple fact is you and I don't own one.
Right.
And which means the reason that we don't own one is there's not anything on the Xbox at this point other than Halo that we have to have.
Yeah, like I do want to play Halo,
it's not a have-to kind of a thing. And it's amazing how small the amount of games that we have to have actually is, because the reason I bring this up is that Kevin from FanboyNation.com, see how I slid that in there?
That's very nice.
We are the flagship gaming podcast of FanboyNation.com, and we will be covering E3. We may actually have somebody from E3 calling in. I think Kevin is going to E3.
Yes.
And Chad has told me he could call in. He'll probably call in like once and be like, I'm not doing that again. but Kevin has been sending emails for stuff for people to write up. And of course, you know, we have our own stuff going on, and I haven't written anything up, but the cool thing about getting those emails is you see the new stuff out there.
Right.
And one thing that I had totally forgotten about is Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Yes.
Is coming in like a month, okay? And I've been saying this whole time that I needed a new PC for Fallout 4. Well, that's game number two. Like that's the other reason that I'm upgrading in the next few months here, because I have to play that. And my whole point with all of this is, we don't need that many games. You got two or three really, really good games. You can make us buy a system.
Yeah.
Microsoft has, one that I really want to play, which is Halo, but I haven't seen anything else. So if they can give us one or two more to make us buy the system, I'm all good with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I will say, you brought up the PC thing. I've totally forgot about this until you brought it up, and so I'm glad you mentioned it. There is, this year at E3, or tied to E3 at the same time, what's called the PC Gaming Show, which is going to be essentially a PC press conference, which obviously is not brought to you by any company or anything like, well, it is sponsored by AMD, but it's not, you know, like Sony or Microsoft or whatever, but it's a PC-centric, essentially press conference that's happening also on Monday at 10:30. And so, later than that, 1:30. Sorry, I gotta get my time zones figured out. So there will be a PC-focused event as well, which is super cool. I'm ridiculously pumped about that. And so, yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, that may be a game we see a lot of there, I would hope. So anyway, back to Microsoft, a few other possibilities of things that could happen. First of all, one of the big question marks right now with Microsoft is what are they going to do as far as the VR/AR augmented reality thing? Because we know that they're working on HoloLens, and so is that something that they show off this year? Is that something that we may get even a release date for? We already know when PlayStation VR is coming. We already have Oculus and Vive out there and stuff. And so is this when Microsoft decides to really show off this tech and make it a big part of what they do? Or do they take a different approach? And let me float this for you. This is coming from, I don't know if we may put these up for show notes. There are show notes for this show. We typically don't do show notes for E3 stuff, but this one is kind of the weird one. So there'll likely be show notes for this. So if you want to go by gamingunsensored.com and see that, this is where this idea is coming from. There's a thought that Microsoft may be announcing a new Xbox One, much like we almost know for certain Sony is, and so we'll talk about this with Sony in just a second. But Microsoft may also release a new Xbox One that's going to be more powerful, so an upgraded Xbox One, this kind of half life cycle upgrade that looks like it's going to be a thing this time. It's not really been a thing in the past, but now it's going to be, so for what that's worth. But the thought is that maybe that hardware will be utilized to bring Oculus to the Xbox, and so have it as a way for the Oculus to both be a PC peripheral, but also to be the Xbox One VR thing.
That I like.
Yeah, that seems brilliant. Like, if they do that, that's a huge deal that you could have the one headset that would be both PC and console gaming, if it's that simple, as it's just the same headset that you can just plug in either place, that would be huge. Well, I think that would be a game changer.
And I think that the reason that it's possible is that, okay, it's an Xbox, right? So you're going to have the USB 3.0 that's required. You're going to have the graphics card that's required. More so than any other console out there, the Xbox is a PC because it's Microsoft.
Right.
And so it makes total sense.
Yeah.
And if the Oculus is available for the Xbox One, like, I'm going to have to go get one.
Right.
just like, I'm probably not going to play games with it, most likely. But just to have it and have that other option, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a huge, huge deal. That to me would be one of the biggest news stories out of E3 if it ends up that the VR for the Xbox One is Oculus. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, I think they should do that. It's not a completely new idea. We've talked about this in the past. I think we talked about this idea last year at E3. But it seems brilliant to me. And so, yeah. I don't know that that's likely. I don't know that seeing that new Xbox 1.5 or whatever you want to call it is likely. But it would be fun. It would be interesting. They would at least pique my interest with that. So, yeah. So that's Microsoft. Sony, we know more, I would say, I think, of what we're going to get from Sony. We know that we're going to get PlayStation VR. I think they're going to make a big push on that. And so I imagine that we're going to see lots of PlayStation VR stuff at E3. But we also know almost certainly that we're also going to get this new PlayStation 4 that right now is codenamed Neo. Whatever they end up actually calling it will not be Neo, I would imagine. But it's going to be a better graphics card. It's going to supposedly output 4K video and all this stuff. You know, a decent upgrade in that you could also utilize it with probably PlayStation VR. It'll be interesting to see if the new console is required for PlayStation VR. I think that's my big question at this point, is this upgraded console going to be a requirement for PlayStation VR? Is it just a bonus? I could easily see it being a requirement. And if it is, or even if it's not, I'm really interested to see if they announce an upgrade program. What is it? You take your PlayStation you have right now, you send it to them, they send you a fancy new one for how much and all that kind of stuff. So,
and the number is a big deal. Like,
the number's a huge deal.
Like, we know this is going to happen, and if it turns out that this thing is a requirement for PlayStation VR, I'm going to feel like we need one.
Right.
But I really don't want to go buy one because we have a PlayStation 4.
Right.
So, okay. If the number is $100, $150, like, okay, I'll probably put up the money for that. Any more, and it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the other side of that, the Xbox that you're talking about. I don't have that interpretation because I don't have one. So So if we see at E3 that Oculus is with the Xbox One and there's this upgrade and there's all this extra cool stuff, stuff going on, that makes me want to go buy one, and I'm glad I've waited. But because that I have the PlayStation 4 already in my house, I don't really want to eat a bunch of money for another PlayStation 4. Now, that being said, you and I are the anomalies on this, I think, because we act like this is a big deal and this has never happened before. But let's be honest, for the last 5 years, there's been about a zillion different SKUs of every console.
That's right.
Like, they haven't upgraded the chip, they haven't upgraded the RAM, but there's been a lot of people that haven't been us that have gone out mid-cycle and gotten another console, which I always thought was stupid.
Me too.
I'm like, so what if it's slimmer? I don't give a crap that it's slimmer. Right. Are you insane? Like that's the way I always felt. So we act like this is a big change, but it's really not. It's been happening for a lot of years.
If anything, there's now a rationality to the change. Right. Like, never before. Like, I still have my fat PlayStation 2. I still have my original PlayStation 3. I still have one of the original Xbox 360s. You know, like, it wasn't my original Xbox 360 because our original Xbox 360 red
died. Yeah.
But when I went to get another one, I went and bought a used one that was still the older model. I didn't go buy a new the slim model of the Xbox 360. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I've never owned the slim version of a console. This is different. This is not a slimmer, sleeker, sexier version of it. This is a performance-based improvement. Now, how much and what they're going to do with that, and this is where this gets really tricky. And so according to Sony, they're going to have a policy that any games released have to work on both, that you have to release your game so that it works on the original so that you don't alienate this user base that you already have. They've sold 40 million units of the PlayStation 4. You don't want to make those 40 million units only work for a certain number of games. You want that to still be for all of them. But for something like VR, I could see where they would make that a requirement and then give you a good upgrade plan. And that's I think, critical to this. Either way, I think it's critical to Microsoft as well. It doesn't apply to us because we don't have an Xbox One. By the way, the Xbox One price has just dropped to $300 kind of right before E3, and maybe setting this up. But if you have an Xbox One right now and you want to get the upgraded version, they also need to have a good upgrade plan for that. They need these plans to entice people to actually do this, not to go, oh, you spent $400 on your PlayStation 4 when it came out. Well, now go spend $400 again on this upgraded version.
And buy, you know, PlayStation VR right. or Oculus or, right. you know.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing is those upgrades, if you're basing it at least in part around VR, you need to have some VR bundles that are going to be upgrade options too. So
which by the way, if I can buy an Xbox One with an Oculus in the box, hello,
right?
You know, I might pay a little extra money for that.
Yeah.
You know, I might pay, you know, $300. Well, see, that's the thing with the Xbox, I don't have one, so
you're gonna pay $800 or something.
If you tell me that I can get the brand new upgraded Xbox One in the box with an Oculus for $500.
Yeah, it's not going to be that.
Well, I know, but you know what I'm saying.
That could be an upgrade price.
That's what I'm saying though. Is
right.
That
if you already have an Xbox One, it's going to cost you at least $500.
I think you're correct. I totally think
Oculus
you're correct.
Oculus is $600.
Right.
So
I know. I know. But I'm just saying, I'm going, if there's a bundle with an Oculus in the box and it's whatever the number is and I get an Xbox One, I'm kind of into that. And let's be honest, that Microsoft is not afraid to eat the hardware. And the reason I say that is because my brother has an Xbox One sitting in his office that he hasn't even hooked up yet. He hasn't even done anything with. And I may have said this previously on another show, but I asked him, why'd you do that? And he goes, well, Dell was having a deal that if you bought a computer that you got an Xbox One for $100. And so I had to buy a computer, so I got an Xbox One. So they're not, like I said, they're not afraid to eat the hardware.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting.
So
I think there's a good chance of it.
Again, if I could get an Xbox One and an Oculus for $600,
yeah,
I might
do that.
It's
still not going to be that. There's zero chance.
I know. I understand that, but you understand where my...
Would you do it for $800?
Maybe. Yeah.
I think that is probably the lowest price you could expect.
Probably.
Because that's taking, assuming, let's make some assumptions really quick, but let's assume this new Xbox retails at $400 and Oculus retails at $600. That's taking a $200 hit on the package.
Right. Well,
and that's significant.
And again, I'm going to buy the, for all my talking and for all my pricing and all that, I'm going to buy the Oculus anyway. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've looked forward to forever. And now that you've played it, you're like, yeah, we're going to do this.
Yes.
So it's not like, $800 is out of the realm of possibility for me. If I spend $800 and get an Oculus and an Xbox One, that's not a bad deal.
No, it's not at all. It's a phenomenal deal. Which again is why I think it's even then unlikely, but that's where it starts making some sense for everybody involved. So either way, it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with it, and we'll hopefully maybe have some answers with E3. Otherwise, for PlayStation, the question is software, and so there's some guesses about like things we saw last year, like The Last Guardian, and so last year The Last Guardian finally showed back up. I think it's fairly safe to anticipate more of The Last Guardian, right? Like, surely at this point?
I don't know.
It could disappear for 5 more years.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, who knows?
I mean, look, that game is like a freaking wormhole.
It is.
Like, it's like, you know in the back of your head that it exists, but you've never seen one. And like, you know. Like, you wouldn't be shocked if it didn't exist, but you also wouldn't be shocked if an alien came through from another dimension and said, "Hi, we're here."
Right. That's fair.
You know, that's kind of what the deal is with The Last Guardian. You just really don't know.
Speaking of games we saw last year and don't know, also Final Fantasy VII, the remake of that. Do we see more of that this year with Sony's press conference or anywhere, really?
That has to happen.
I would hope.
That's like, you've teased people, now if whatever you're going to do, you got to do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I hope that they come through with something amazing.
Because there's people that you can jerk around. Final Fantasy fans... are not those people.
No, they're
kind of insane. So
very much insane.
And we are them. I mean, let's be honest, we are them. And
So those two, No Man's Sky, which by the way has been delayed.
It was supposed
to come out this month, I think. It's now supposed to come out in August. We'll see. I'm not holding my breath for August. I think we'll probably see it this year. But we'll see. I think something that would be phenomenal, though, is if they came out and made a big push with No Man's Sky and PlayStation VR and said, you know, like, hey, one of the reasons we're holding this back a little bit is because we want to make sure it works awesome with PlayStation VR. That's one of those games. So I mentioned Firewatch, and the reason that Firewatch would be so cool in VR is because the game is really an exploration title that you're just wandering around in this environment that's beautiful, like this amazing first-person perspective environment, which is exactly what No Man's Sky is going to be, right? It's going to be first-person exploration. It's like the only way I can see it at this point, right? And so, like, that, to me, makes all the sense in the world in VR and could take that from what right now is looking like a really cool tech demo to something that you would actually want to go back to over and over, you know, because if it's immersive in VR, even if everything else about it's the same, like after my experience with the Oculus, like I didn't even want to play games in it as much as I just wanted to be in it and, you know, like look around more and spend more time in environments, you know, like there's something completely different about exploring environments in VR than there is on a two-dimensional screen. And so I think that it could make it like a game that you actually want to spend a lot of time in, which we have yet to see whether or not it's going to be able to do that.
Which I think to me that No Man's Sky is crazy because that guy has made a lot of money on a tech demo. Like,
it's great.
Like
God bless Sean Murray.
You don't ever really... I like we've been talking about this thing for years. I still don't have a clue what it is. I know that it's paying him to do whatever he does, but I don't know.
It's made him an internet celebrity.
Yeah.
God bless him. I mean, do what you can, man.
I mean, like he's like the next generation Notch.
Yes.
I mean, like he's that
That's
guy.
That's a really good way to put it.
I don't think he's going to be nearly as successful as Notch has been.
That's just what I don't know. Like, I could see No Man's Sky being Spore or being Minecraft, you know?
Well,
like, being this massive disappointment with all this hype or being this massive thing that takes off and blows up the world.
Well, here's the thing. I got to tell you this. And I told you this last summer, and I'm amazed that it has continued. But Mom and Dad went to get Avery last week, right? Because it's summertime, and Avery's home, and all that good jazz. So my house is going to be like Grand Central Station next week. I'm just warning you.
Fair enough.
That's the way it is.
I like Avery.
And you're used to all of that, so that's good. But as they're picking her up, and they're in Austin, and they're trying to pack up her stuff, I get this text from my dad that says, "Call me." So I call him. He doesn't pick up the phone. He calls my brother back because my brother happens to be in the room with me, and asks my brother to ask me, "Do you have an Xbox?" Well, obviously I don't. I don't even have a 360. You have the 360.
Right.
The reason he wanted to know was because Avery was going to make absolutely certain that she brought her Minecraft for the summer. She did that last summer, but she was not leaving her house without Minecraft. And you know, she's a, like, 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And Minecraft is, like, the biggest thing on the planet in her reality. And it's been out for years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like the whole thing to me has been hilarious because Evie has been trying to get me to learn to build in virtual worlds because some of the stuff that we're doing on the side, you kind of need to know how to build. And so I've been kind of tinkering around with it and trying to figure it out. And I'm just not, she keeps saying to me, build something that you want to build. And I'm trying to nicely intimate that I don't, like, for some reason, there must be something wrong with me because I don't have any desire to build anything. Like, if she builds something and I walk through it, like, I'm like, that's the coolest thing ever. But I don't have any desire to do it. Yes. And that's the way that you and I have been with Minecraft, basically. Yep. Like, I don't get it. You don't get it.
No. Nope.
But a lot of other people get it.
Yeah. It's massive. 10 million copies sold. That's one of the things that's in our show notes. 10 million copies sold of Minecraft.
That's a lot.
It's nuts. And you're absolutely right. Don't understand it, but God bless them. And there's going to be more of that in the future. I don't know that No Man's Sky does that, but it could. I have no clue on the thing. I just don't know. So anyway, I would imagine we'll see that pretty up front and center. Then it's what other potential games could we see from Sony? And I think maybe the big one. I think there's a decent chance we at least get a little teaser for it. We won't get any more than that. But I think the new Last of Us game, like, I think that's the next big thing on the Sony world that's going to really blow up. And I think that they'll tease it, and it'll come in 2 years from now. It'll be the big game at E3 for Sony next year, but this year we'll get the little teaser of it. And everybody will freak out because The Last of Us is phenomenal.
Well, it's going to freak out because they have to freak out, and they have to keep bringing it out because the thing that has occurred to me, you and I have been playing Uncharted, right? And apparently Uncharted 4 is the last Uncharted game. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if this is the last Uncharted game as we know it, which we haven't got to 4 yet. We're still trying to finish 2. But if Uncharted 4 is the last Uncharted game as we know it, that's a big hole for Naughty Dog. So they have to keep coming out with The Last of Us. They have to come up with other stuff because they've been running with Nathan Drake for, what, 10 years now?
Just about,
That's a huge franchise. And for them to say it's over, you got to think they have some other plan.
Yeah, and that's the other thing we may see is not The Last of Us 2, but maybe a new IP from Naughty Dog, which I would also be super pumped about. I would love to see another world, another universe from them that they're working on. So, excuse me. Sorry about that. I think I'm getting sick.
Alan, that's not good.
That'll be a good, fun time for E3. I've been coughing and now sneezing and sniffling all through the show. So, yeah, I apologize for that.
That's not, you didn't need to tell me that.
I got some flow days downstairs. I mean, we're going to make it work. It's going to happen. I may be, like, leaking all over the place, but it's going to happen.
I had this vision of us being on video with you, like, some shades. And, like you're completely stoned out of your brain. Like, he's up
right. It'll be a good time.
And he's paying attention, but he's on some stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's going to happen. We're going to make it work. So, anyway, that brings us to Nintendo and what the crap's happening with Nintendo. And so, really quickly, the rundown on what we know of Nintendo's plans at this point. Like I said, they had said that it was going to be all Zelda all the time. It's now going to be most Zelda most of the time, apparently. But still, Zelda focused, and Zelda for the Wii U, even though they've already told us that Zelda's going to launch on the Wii U and the NX at the same time. But at this point, Nintendo's still saying that they're not showing the NX, that's some other time that's going to come up. I have my doubts about whether or not that's true. But it seems like a dumb idea to not show it if you're going to show Zelda the whole time and probably not really support Zelda on the Wii U in the future, really going to try to push for it on the NX. That would be my guess of their strategy, but look, we don't know what the NX is, so who knows?
It's a bad idea to not show it unless it's not ready.
That's fair.
Like, if it's not ready, I don't want you wheeling it out there saying, hey, this is what we've got and this is what's coming. It's not ready.
You gotta get it. Don't show us something that's broken.
Right.
That's gonna destroy you. And so that's fair. If it's not ready to be seen, then don't show it, because that would do more harm than good. But we will also get, in addition to mostly Zelda, some Pokemon. Which a lot of people are going to be excited about.
Anyone
those people are not us.
About they're not us.
Not us. And so, yeah, that. And then some other 3DS titles like Tokyo Mirage Sessions, #FE. I have no clue what that is. But, like, I saw somebody super pumped about it. It's apparently an RPG for the Wii U that's set in a modern-day world of music and art featuring characters and gameplay from Intelligent Systems' Fire Emblem franchise. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. So Fire Emblem characters in a modern music-driven world. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But whatever, it's there. It's cool, I guess. We'll see what happens with that. And maybe a few other things, but it looks like it's going to be very Zelda-focused. So let me say, first of all, if Nintendo, you have one franchise to focus E3 on, I think Zelda is the franchise to do that with. So far, so good.
Yeah.
But I think you got to show the NX, and I think you got to show Zelda on the NX and tell us what the NX is and why we should play Zelda on it. Because I don't think you're going to sell people on the Wii U at this point. Everybody pretty much thinks the Wii U is dead. And I don't think you're going to change anybody's mind on that. So I just don't know for Nintendo, man. I'm so scared for them.
Boy, if this is the way you're going to start, man, you're in the zone. You're like, man, I'm just
sick and depressed.
Yeah,
and
we may have to start taking the pills or something to pick you up. That's
But the good news is we'll see all the fun stuff before Nintendo, so there'll be lots of fun stuff that happens that I'm almost certain that Microsoft and Sony aren't going to completely disappoint us, you know? Like, they would have to do something crazy to completely disappoint us. They just have good enough software that they shouldn't completely disappoint us.
Yeah.
Nintendo is the one that is, I would say, more likely than not to disappoint us at this point, and so it makes it sad. And they have disappointed the past few years at E3. It's been a while since we've said Nintendo had a good E3. Last year, we just said, what the crap is this? What are they doing? And to be fair, on our analysis of Nintendo E3 from last year, what has Nintendo done in the past year that has made you any more likely to go play a Wii U, buy a Wii U, or, like... I've played like 2 games on my 3DS in this year, you know? Like, I like that system, but they just aren't putting out much for it. There's some good stuff out there. I'm not saying there's nothing.
Did you get the Resident Evil game that I told you about on the...
I have
the
not. 3D?
You got to get that because I'm curious.
I am curious about that.
Because IGN says that's one of the best 3DS games out there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't doubt it, but it's just... Nintendo's just kind of disappeared, you know? Like Sony and Microsoft feel like the relevant ones right now, and Nintendo's kind of this other thing. Like, I don't see ads for Wii U games or 3DS games on
TV.
No,
I have not seen... We're in the middle of the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right?
And I have not seen a single Nintendo ad for anything.
No, and I haven't probably in a year. Like, I can't think of anything. Like, Nintendo's been so relegated to, like, just like, oh, miscellaneous ad. Like, what are they going to do? Oh, they released an app. You know, like, that's the big news from Nintendo recently is this Miitomo thing that they released that it's not even a game. You know, like, I don't get it. It's whatever. Some people like it. There's got lots of downloads and good for them on that, but it's just not, you know, from us 30-some-year-old gamer perspective, what we're looking for from Nintendo. And, yeah, it's weird. So, we'll see. Good luck, Nintendo, is about all I have to say on that. So, we'll see what happens. Otherwise, we also have Bethesda. So, Bethesda just put out Fallout 4 not terribly long ago, within the past year since last E3. Fallout 4 was obviously a huge part of Bethesda last year. Doom was also a huge part of Bethesda last year. Both of those games are now out, so you'd imagine they're not going to be huge parts, though I bet we see a pretty good bit of Fallout because they're going to be talking about expansions and that kind of stuff. The other big Bethesda title at this point is Dishonored 2, and I bet we see a lot of Dishonored 2 at E3, which... And I'm very happy
we
about.
We love Dishonored. That was
Dishonored was a phenomenal game. Great gameplay mechanics, great visual style, just a really, really cool game. So, yeah, give us more of that, and we'll be happy. The other thing that's kind of swirling is that there may be a Skyrim HD coming that will be ported to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and then you would hope probably also another PC release for a higher def version of it, upgraded everything for it, which would be cool. And because Skyrim has been one of the, you know, retrofitted titles, not retro titles, but retrofitted titles for Oculus VR purposes, you would think that you would probably see a push with that if they want to do a new Skyrim release.
Can I ask you something?
Yep.
I don't understand. Like, a lot of games, I understand the HD release. Like, if you give me an HD release of Beyond Good and Evil, for example, that makes sense because that game's old, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really understand the idea of a Skyrim HD release.
Right.
Because, from my mind, what a Skyrim HD release would be is all of the mods crammed into the game that you wanted as far as visually, and it's
right.
Still Skyrim. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What makes it HD?
Well, that's where it's a bigger deal on a console than it is on a PC.
Right.
Because you don't have those options on the console to do all those wonderful graphic enhancement mods and everything else that you get on the PC. So, yeah, there's a good chance that they release Skyrim HD on the PC as well as on consoles. And original Skyrim still looks better with mods. You know, like that's totally doable because some of the graphic enhancements on Skyrim right now are just insane, like ridiculous. And so, yeah, it doesn't make nearly as much sense on the PC side, but makes a lot of sense on the console side.
And like, I'm still playing Skyrim, so I can't be talking trash on it.
No, it's beautiful.
I still like, pick it up.
It's not that
like,
old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, EA, we will likely see lots of Battlefield 1. they had very positive reception about Battlefield 1, which is good for them, and so I imagine we'll see lots and lots of that, which I honestly am excited about. I want to see more Battlefield 1. I think it looks really cool, and so we'll see that. We'll likely see Titanfall 2, which is supposedly going to be bigger and badder than the first one. The first one was kind of cool. It was its own thing, but it was that like Xbox One launch title thing, you know, that was this
like,
big combat
game. Titanfall, oh, yeah.
Right. It was just fun to show off the hardware and big gameplay and all that kind of stuff. But now it looks a little like not dated as far as graphics wise, but dated as far as gameplay. It looks like a launch title, you know. This one shouldn't look like a launch title. Maybe flesh that game out a little bit more. The big question is, do we see Mass Effect? And of course, we saw just the teaser of Mass Effect last year.
Maybe.
Now, Mass Effect was originally supposed to come out this year. We knew that was bunk, and it's since been delayed. But that you would think that new Mass Effect's going to happen next year. And so you would expect to at least see some of it.
Well,
like,
look.
They got to show us something more than the little teaser that we got last year.
Look. It and maybe it's just for you and me. Like we're talking about Minecraft earlier, but for you and me, now this the caveat here is that it has to be good. But for you and me, Mass Effect is a system seller. That's another one of those titles for me, especially that I'm like. If that's coming out next year like they say it is, and I believe they won't push it again, that's another reason I have to own a PC. That's three titles on the PC that I have to have.
Yeah.
And there are three PC-centric titles. Like,
yes.
You can play them on a console, and that's great, but they're really kind of made for the PC. So I would love to see it. I have my doubts about it because the first trilogy was so good.
Right.
And how do you do
the bar
that
is
again?
Really high.
Yeah. Like how do you do that again? And we've talked about it before. I don't really understand why the first trilogy was really good because there wasn't really a main character. Like you were the main character.
Yeah.
But I was all about Shepard. Like,
yeah.
I was all about Shepard and what he had going on and the romance and the, like I did that was cool. And that, to me, it's going to be really hard to recreate. Like,
yeah.
Like, I know Dragon Age, the new Dragon Age is really good. Comparatively to Dragon Age 2 and 3. And that's kind of what the fear that I have for the new Mass Effect. Like it's really good.
Now to be fair, that's what we said about Mass Effect 2 and 3 though when they came out. Like we love them. Like don't hear us wrong here.
They're not as good as the original.
Right. We dog those a lot.
Yes, we did.
Like again, I love Mass Effect as a franchise. The first game's the best. And then they went downhill from there, you know. And
yeah,
and
but
Dragon
you know
Age,
what they never
the same
lost.
Way, but
you know what they never lost.
Huh.
We dogged the gameplay a lot. You know what they never lost? They never lost the story.
Yeah, that's key, and you're absolutely right with that. And it kept it engaging, and they were fun to play. Like they sold it as an RPG, was not an RPG, but it was still fun to play. And that's kind of Dragon Age. Is the first one was super RPG, you know, and it was great. And then they tried to like. Dumb it down and it failed and then they split the difference with Inquisition and with a certain level of success and still a lot of issues with that or whatever but it's fair to be worried I think it's probably going to be good. You know, I think it's a game that we're going to play and go, oh, yeah, it's maybe not as good as the original, but it's a fun game and worth them keeping making. I don't think it's going to turn into like Assassin's Creed where it just gets saturated.
Oh,
and
man, don't even go there. That's
which Ubisoft is the next place we have to talk about. So, yeah, but I would imagine that. I would hope at least that we see a good little bit of Mass Effect. It maybe not, you know, spend 20 minutes on, you know, gameplay or whatever, but a little bit deeper. Talk to us about the world, about the environment, about when this takes place, how it connects in with the Mass Effect universe, all that kind of stuff that we want to know, and show us some prettiness, and I'll be happy. So, yeah. So lastly is Ubi, and what can we expect from Ubi? I think the big one for you and I is, do they show us Beyond Good and Evil again? Is that still a game? Does it still exist? Because I have questions about that at this point. Outside of that, there's the new Ghost Recon game that we saw last year that looks really good called Wildlands, and I would like to see more of that. We'll see if there's new Assassin's Creed. They're putting out the movie. Have you seen the trailer for the movie?
No.
With Michael Fassbender as the assassin dude? I don't know if he's...
Seriously?
Whoever. Yeah.
Wow.
It's interesting, but a little bit of trivia. One of my former students, I did not know this until after the trailer came out. One of my former students did the music for the trailer, the like cinematic release for that, which is
awesome.
Dude, right?
You're like, that's my guy.
Right? I was super pumped about that. So if you've seen the cinematic trailer for Assassin's Creed, that was one of my former students that did the sound on that, so that was super cool. I was pumped about that, so we'll see if we see that. But the one that we know we're going to see a lot of, because they just did a big announcement like yesterday, is Watch Dogs 2. Watch Dogs 2 is official. There's a 20 minute video you can go see, it'll be on the show notes, that's talking about the a lot about it. So we already have a lot of details. It's going to take place in San Francisco. The new character's name is Marcus. The world was that CTOS is back. It's after you shut it down as Aiden Pierce in the first Watch Dogs game. It's back and better than ever, or worse than ever, with like corporations spying on people and all this kind of stuff. And you're a hacker extraordinaire trying to do whatever. It looks cool. We're going to see a lot of it. I would imagine we'll see tons and tons of Watch Dogs 2 at E3. The first game was, it was so hyped, and so it didn't live up to the hype, but it was still really good. Like, that was a fun game, and especially for such an early title. Like, it was essentially
you
a launch
what?
Title.
I would like to go back to Watch Dogs on SharePlay. That would be fun.
That would be cool. That would be a lot of fun. When we were playing Watch Dogs, we were playing via Ustream, and so everything I did, you saw 6 seconds later. And so I'd be like, oh! And it'd be like 6 seconds, and then you'd go, oh! It was a super weird way to play a game. And so, yeah, now we got SharePlay working. That would be a lot more fun to work on it together. But we will definitely see lots of Watch Dogs, and I think that's exciting. I think it's a cool franchise, and I think it's a little corny in its gameplay mechanics, but
yeah,
in a fun
hacking.
Way, it's very...
We're hacking, yeah!
But it's very action movie-ish, and so let's do more of it, you know? Like, it's kind of check your brain at the door, but in a fun way, and I'm all for it. So, yeah, I'm pumped about more Watch Dogs. I thought it was a cool game. I'm excited for more. And I think that they could only, like, upgrade the franchise, you know? Like, there's more flexibility now with game mechanics and everything because they're deeper into this cycle with the PlayStation 4. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens with it, but I'm pumped about it. A few other game announcements, either releases or other things. CD Projekt Red is releasing a Gwent game, which
what?
I'm super stoked about. Because I love Gwent. Gwent is the card game from The Witcher 3. That's like the in-game card game like so many RPGs have. But this is by far my favorite of those ever. And it's... addicting in a way that I can't explain. I don't know why it's as addicting as it is, but it is, and it's super fun, and they're going to release a standalone title with it, apparently. So, yeah. Show me that.
Guys are probably really enjoying having the best game on the planet.
Yes.
After making a couple of games that didn't work out so well, they're probably really enjoying being on top of the world right now.
Yeah. The Witcher 3 is, Cabbage said it at one point, that I think he said it was his favorite game ever, maybe, or something like that. It is one of the best games ever made. It's phenomenal. And we were skeptical that it was going to be that. It's pretty close. It's epic, and it's massive, and it's deep, and it's dark, and it's twisted, and you have to carry around a weirdly aborted fetus for a while. It's just like it's the most bizarre game in so many good ways, and it's phenomenal. So yeah, happy to see that.
Right.
XCOM 2 is officially coming to consoles, Xbox One and PlayStation 4 in September, which is super cool because XCOM is awesome.
Right.
By the way, another one on PC that we need to get. There is a new Final Fantasy 12 game coming.
I saw that.
Called the Zodiac Age.
That's one of those ones that Kevin sent. Was yeah. Like, does anybody know about this? And yeah, that's pretty cool.
The trailer looks awfully pretty. I played some of Final Fantasy XII. I didn't finish it because the combat mechanic was weird and I just never really got as into it as I should have. But it's like a remake with more stuff, if I understand it right, that's really pretty. And it was a really pretty game to start with, so God bless them on that. So we'll see. And then I'll mention this. This isn't a game announcement in any way, but it's super exciting if it ever were to happen. And so I want to float it out there so people keep talking about it. Takashi Tokita, who is the director of Chrono Trigger, which is one of my all-time favorite games, phenomenal RPG, wants to see a high def remake. Wants to see it get like the Final Fantasy VII treatment.
Dude, all he has to do is put that on Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. It'll be funded. Yeah, 5 minutes tops, like for sure. It is one of the best games ever made. Chrono Trigger. I played through in the past several years. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago now, but I played through it on the 3DS on the DS, really, because I don't think it was a 3DS game, but played through it on the 3DS, and it's just like it still holds up. You know, it's just one of those games that's just so stinking good, and great characters, great story, amazing RPG elements, just really, really good. Yeah, do a remake of that, and I'll pay probably whatever you want for it. Like, I will sell my arms and legs for that game, kind of thing, you know. So,
hey, man, that's my bit. That's totally my bit. But yeah, it's a really good game, and a remake would be good. And it, like, that's something, again, I'm not kidding, that's something that could easily be done on Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah. But in a heartbeat. Yeah, I don't think they'd have any problem with that at all. So anyway, a couple of VR things for you just briefly, because, again, I imagine we'll see lots of VR. Sony has announced a strategy game for PlayStation VR called Tethered, which I don't really get the gameplay of at this point. You have what they call them peeps. The little like characters in the game are peeps. And like during the day, you're trying to get them to like build up settlements and that kind of stuff. This, you know, kind of you play the god of this strategy world or whatever. But then at night, these like lion slugs attack. I kid you not, they look like lion slugs, which is interesting. And so I don't really get it, but what I'm really pumped about it is that it's somebody making a straight-up strategy game for virtual reality, which I think is a really, really cool way to use virtual reality. We talk about it as a first-person thing, and I think obviously that's going to be huge. But I think strategy games, I think of something like Civ, because I love Civ so much, but strategy games like this could work so well in VR, and they're doing it. They're making a VR game that's going to be that kind of strategy world approach, and I want to see it, because I think it's a good mechanic, even if this game doesn't really look that great to me right now. I want the mechanic.
Somebody has got to get this man an Oculus, and we've got some stuff happening next week during E3 that will give you the option to contribute to that, I hope.
Yes.
But man, you're like a junkie looking for a next hit. You're like,
you're telling me
that, yeah.
Man, that's, you get the taste, and did you have the itch? It's crazy. Yeah, I'm pumped about it. I want to see it. So, something that I may not be as pumped about for VR, but could be cool. This is using the HTC Vive for a rowing machine workout. So you've seen rowing machines before, right? Where you sit on a little seat that moves back and forth and you push with your legs and you pull the rope that's like your bar, whatever, for rowing. And so you pair that with an HTC Vive so that like as you're working out, as you're rowing, you can actually be in like a virtual lake or a river or something and like, you know, be immersed in this. Which I could see actually making working out a lot more fun. There's all kinds of little simulations like on treadmills where you have a little screen in front of you, you know, and like it has like a path and some trees or some mountains or whatever. But that's obviously not in any way immersive. VR is immersive. And so like if you could do this with a rowing machine or a stationary bike or on a treadmill or something like that, though on a treadmill, I find that incredibly dangerous, but you know, whatever. To each his own, I suppose. That you could actually be immersed in a virtual world while working out, I think you could get some more people interested in working out.
Can I say something to you? And I know I can't because I have a mic. but okay, you know I have the torture machine in my house. Right?
Yes.
And here's how I know I'm getting old because I have the torture machine in my house. I try to get in the torture machine 3 days a week, but the last two times or so that I've gotten in the torture machine, otherwise known as the standing frame, my left knee has had a real serious problem. My left knee is like, no. and so, like, I get up there and I stand up there for like a half hour until my left knee is just not having it anymore. And I stood yesterday, and my knee was bothering me, and I woke up this morning, and my knee is still bothering me. And I told Jane it's probably a good thing that I'm going to be lazy next week and play video games because I'm getting old. The last thing that I want to see, like I realize that you spent a lot of time on Wii Fit and you had the balance board and the whole nine yards and that made it fun for you. Like, the last thing I want to do is to have some sort of virtual reality something for my standing frame. if you could turn off the pain receptors in my brain, that would be great.
Right.
But like, I don't want to stand in my standing frame with an Oculus on my face unless you can make it feel better.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's fair. Working out is still working out,
yeah,
regardless of what you're looking at.
That doesn't seem fun to me.
Fair enough. AMD has announced a new graphics card that's VR ready. It's the Radeon RX 480, and it's $200. A VR ready card for $200, which is smart. If you're AMD and NVIDIA's kind of already staked out, you know, that kind of mid and higher price range with the GTX and with the Titan, like, see if you could undercut to get in there for the VR stuff. And it's obviously not as powerful as the GTX cards, but it's VR ready and it's almost half the price of the GTX 1070 and a third the price of the 1080. So, yeah, good for them.
Well,
it's smart.
And it's smart, but the question with AMD always and still is, I think, is the drivers.
Sure.
Like, they still have driver issues. I've owned one AMD card. I really don't want to own another one.
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to really make a dent in there, they got to do something about the drivers.
That seems fair. I've always been an NVIDIA person, too, and so, yeah, I'm not necessarily looking forward to buying this car. I'm sold on a GTX at this point. But anything that you can do, I honestly believe this, to make VR more accessible is a good thing. Because right now the price point is so high. If you can do any little thing to bring that price point down to get more people into VR, the quicker the VR kind of ecosystem is going to grow, and the better it will ultimately be, I think, in a quicker time period. And so, I think it's a good idea, and I'm glad that people are already trying to bring the entry price down.
Yeah, I just like I'm glad that it's happening. I just don't know how many people are going to use AMD cards to do this.
Yeah,
you know what
that's
I'm
fair.
Saying? Like
that's
like,
fair.
I don't, like, you can do it. Like, this is what you do if you're broke and you know, you absolutely want in, but you just don't have the money, which to be fair, I mean, I absolutely want in and I don't have the money, but I'm going to spend it anyway.
Right.
We've talked about this whole being an adult thing on previous shows, and it's, you're right. The price point is high, so anything that you can do, that's great. I'm probably still not going to buy one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad it's there, and it would help my wallet. But I'm not. I know enough to know that I have to have a GTX card.
Right. No, I think you're right for us personally. Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah, totally. One last thing I'll mention really quick, because this is just cool for the potential of showing off VR. That's one of the really tricky things with VR, is that it's something you have to experience. It's not something that shows well on a two-dimensional screen. Not only like just looking at it from videos and things like that have come out so far, but my own personal experience of having it on my head and then 2 minutes later watching it on a screen. It's just a completely different experience. One of the things that the HTC Vive is trying to do to make at least demoing it maybe a little more immersive is using green screen rooms so that you can see the person standing in the environment and then you can see the environment kind of developed around them. And so instead of trying to show it off as just this two-dimensional thing on a screen, you show it off as a fully kind of enveloping environment around the user. So you can see the person standing in the environment, and then you can see the environment at least to some level around them, maybe not fully 3D or any of that kind of stuff, but at least get a better idea of what the character is doing or what it looks like or whatever. I think it's brilliant. I think any way that you could figure out how to make this thing look more like what the user experience is, so people get an idea of what to expect, is a good idea.
I think we need to come up with, you and I need to come up with one good tech idea. Because like here's what I'm saying. Like, you played with the Oculus, right? It's great. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of people coming up with a lot of ideas, this being one, to demo the HTC. Like, and I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, how do you even get there? Like,
yeah.
How do you even pitch to some guy in the company that's like, we need this whole room that the entire thing's a green screen, and
yes,
people can come stand in. Like, you and I have ideas like that all the time, but we have no money. Like,
right.
Like, we just need one good tech idea to be, you know, the No Man's Sky people or that the random guy that came up with the HTC Vive green screen. Like,
right.
That's awesome. Why can't
idea.
We come up with that stuff?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you totally. So anyway, that's our E3 look ahead, E3 episode 0. And so we will be back in a few days in earnest with our E3 coverage.
Oh,
so,
well, hold up. Not a few days. We will be back in 2 days. Like this is Thursday.
Yeah.
We'll be back Sunday.
That's 3 days.
Well, it's like two
fair.
And a half. It's two and a half is what it is. It
depends on how you do the math on that. But yeah, soon. We will be back soon.
Should we tell them kind of what
we
should. What
yeah,
we're planning? So
we could talk about some of the ideas that we've got to flesh out some details on this, so be forward looking for some details. But yes, we have fun stuff planned.
Yeah. So firstly, we are, since he's going to be in my house for like 5 days, we're going to be in the same room. We have office space with a lot of bandwidth. We have two things in mind, and here's one that you guys really need to pay attention for, be watching on the website, be watching on the Facebook, because for the first time ever during E4 at Gaming Uncensored, we may have to schedule shows and let you guys know when we're going to be on the air, because if everything breaks correctly and we get the tech working, we may be streaming live for E4 2016. Yes. We may be streaming live. I don't think it's that hard. Evie tells me it's not that hard. She does it every day, at least twice a day. We are looking to go live this year at E4, and I'm excited about that. We haven't been live for a long time.
Yes.
And even when we were live, it didn't sound that good.
Right.
We're going to try and get this done. If it works out, and it's a big if, that's going to open up some stuff on the website that we may do when you and I are together for Christmas episodes and whatnot, meaning like a chat room on the website.
Right.
And various other things. Evie says that's not that hard to do. So we're going to have some different ways to go live as far as the stream goes. On top of that, you talked to me this morning about possibly doing some stuff on Twitch, which
yes.
people have been begging us for a couple of years. So, again, we have the bandwidth here at the office. We have the space available. I hope I'm going to go ask my brother what's going on in the conference room this week, because I think we're going to want to set up in the conference room with the big screen and everything else.
Yeah.
We're going to try and set that up. We may be on Twitch, which to me is mind-blowing because I'm on video on a fairly regular basis. Tommy hates video with a passion.
I do. That's how much I like you.
Yeah, that's how much he likes you people. Because we don't even Skype on video.
No.
That's not even
I'm not wearing a shirt right now, so video chat would not be fun.
No. although I have seen that. Like,
right.
That's
I'm a furry human being.
Yes, you are.
Built-in sweater.
So that being said, if things work out, we will be doing audio, video, and all that good stuff. And if we're really lucky, this is also something we'll be working on. We're looking at a way to give you guys to contribute to the show. We're looking at some crowdfunding. As a way to give you guys to contribute to the show and get you guys content before
yes.
anybody else on the internet gets it. I'm really excited about all of it. Do you want to talk about anything while we're here?
No, that's good. I think that's the gist of it. The idea with doing some kind of contribution system is something that we can not just beg for money, but that we can give you some value back. That we're going to be able to set up a system to do some fun stuff. That if you can and are willing to donate, that we can then reimburse that in some ridiculous, silly Gaming Uncensored way that hopefully you'll find entertaining. If that's adding content, we will very easily have a mobile rig for E3 this year, and so we may do some.
We might have two, because I right. have one and you have one.
Right,
so
we'll easily have the ability to record in other places, and so we may do some fun random content that's available in different ways, and maybe through some contribution stuff and all that. And so yeah, we'll be working on that a lot as we go forward. But yeah, we'll have all kinds of announcements during E3. We also have, let me mention this, because I've forgotten to bring it up, and it's a big deal. We have the production contest still going on. We have some entries. We want some more entries before next week, and so we'll probably make the decision on that Wednesday next week, and so let's set the hard deadline right now for Tuesday next week. We have more games than we know what to do with to give away, and so send us in some production, and we're going to give away some games for that.
And
so,
man, we do. We have a ton of games, and they just keep coming.
and really good stuff. Yeah. Like I literally Narc sent us some more codes the other day, and I just emailed back a slow clap GIF because that's how good the games were. Like, it's just ridiculous. And so,
yeah, I mean, that
kudos to Narc.
That guy is nuts. And I will personally say, when we get the crowdfunding going, Narc doesn't have to do anything because Narc has done his job.
That's absolutely right. Like, Narc has access to anything he wants at this point.
Yeah. So
yes, that, exciting things happening. Hang out with us next week. We're just gonna have fun. Like, expect, like, if you gotta work, like, we're both taking the week off. That's how much we love this, is we could take the week off and play with it. So this is our vacation. But, like, if you've got to work, like, hopefully we can help you get through the work week, you know? Like, hopefully we can entertain you even more than we usually do. Usually you get, like, two and a half hours from us every 2 weeks. You're going to get 10 hours from us in the course of 5 days.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal, and it's fun. And so and we enjoy doing it. It's fun for us, but we want it to be fun for y'all too. So please, we want feedback. Email gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Go by the Facebook page. I don't know what else you could do to us to tell us about stuff, but we want to hear your feedback about what you want, what you think would be fun.
But let me tell you what I want, and I'm almost certain that the live stream thing is going to happen, because between the two of us and Evie, I think that's going to be doable. So if that happens, that means that you can stream us live at work, and I'm going to jump out there and say we have the Google voicemail, which can be forwarded to either one of our phones.
That's true.
So
very true.
So we may have the ability during shows for you to call in and talk to us live, which would be awesome.
That'd be fun.
We have never used that functionality. So if you got to work this week, we understand completely. We work most of the time. The idea of taking off for 5 days and ignoring everything is not right. Something that neither one of us usually do, and it's a little scary, but we're going to do it because we love this. So you guys, if you want to take us to work and do all that good stuff, we're going to be there for you. We hope you enjoy it. We're excited because we're doing a lot of stuff we've always wanted to do and
yes.
have never really had the tech and the know-how to do it. And
E3 sucked so bad for us last
yeah,
year that we're compensating
awful.
It for we, in every way we can this
we,
year.
We never talked about it on the air. We tried really hard to not talk about it on the air. E3 was really bad last year. E3
yes.
was hard.
E3 was bored. I literally was sitting at a Starbucks getting videos to watch, and then we did this show remotely over a hotspot. Like, it was awful. Just the worst.
Right.
And so, yeah, this year we're making it awesome.
Yeah. And I'm almost afraid that we're putting Evie in the middle of this. She says to me last week, she says, I got to give you some hours because I'm behind. I said, don't worry about it. I've got stuff for you to do. So yeah, because if all of this happens, I'm pretty sure it will be because she's involved. Because if you and I can't figure it out, she can figure it out.
There you go.
And I'm very excited about all of it. I know you are too. I'm really. Can you tell that I'm excited about going live?
Yes.
Like,
it's gonna be fun.
I really am. And the Twitch, we've never done Twitch like ever.
Nope.
And I'm just like, the idea of that we could be on Twitch with the rest of the gaming world. Like, the thing that scares the crap out of me about Twitch is, like, it may be like the Oculus, that once we start,
right,
like, we can't
ever
stop.
I'll have to start wearing a shirt to do the show.
Yeah. Like, why did they get Gaming Uncensored shirts made? Because you're not wearing a shirt. There's a lot of time that I'm not wearing a shirt. We're going to have to get Gaming Uncensored stuff made.
If we are wearing shirts, they should at least be branded.
Yes. And right now, the shirt I'm wearing is not. So, yeah, we need to fix that. But
yes.
That being said, we need to get out of here. This show is already way too long. We try and keep these shows at like an hour. And we failed that miserably.
Every time.
So all of that being said, we need to get out of here. Email us, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. You can go by the Facebook page. You can go by the website. There's actually content on the website because of Tommy. I've been lazy. I've been horrible. Because I all of the cool stuff I've been doing, I haven't been able to do well. But you're coming into my environment, and you're going to be sitting in front of my arcade cabinet. Right. And we're going to have...
And that's what we're going to be doing.
We're going to have to find some way to get that on video.
Yes.
Because that'll be like the coolest thing ever. So you're going to get a lot of extra web content this week. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Thank you for allowing us to do what we do. We hope you enjoy the next week. We know we will. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, for right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.